for having us. And thanks to all of you for coming. It's really nice to be back in Montreal. I actually went to school here a million years ago. And I'm from Toronto, but I now live in Ottawa. I moved there about a year ago for my partner, and Ottawa is pretty lame. So being in Montreal is exciting. Like, being on the metro coming here is like the most exciting thing that has happened to me since I left Ottawa the last time. So when I lived in Montreal, I went to McGill, and I studied English literature, of course, and then I went to another university, and I got another literary-ish degree. And then when I graduated, I, of course, worked in jobs for about 8 years that had absolutely nothing to do with anything literary. Most of them were in the service industry, and that's because I wanted to get paid a fair wage. But recently, I've been thinking about how I'm working in a few literary gigs, and they pay me an annual salary that is less than I paid to go to McGill for 1 year. So thank you, McGill, and thank you to my younger self for making such excellent decisions. So in light of that, I thought I'd start with a poem about working in the service industry for so long. And I just want to preface it by saying I think the service industry is an awesome place to work. I actually think it's one of the most interesting, challenging jobs I've ever had. So this one's called Richard Gere's Grand Piano. Here, this is it. You're a waitress. You bring people French toast and bacon. You can't pay the hydro bill. I used to think of you as somebody grand, like one of those pianos Edward fucked Vivian on in Pretty Woman. Maybe you are. Maybe your greatest talent is gleaming in empty foyers. This one's called Butte. I'm neat in short shorts, or I used to think men thought so, until I met you in your smartphone. Would you rather be ogling than me neat in anything? It makes me wonder if men looking is just a routine, like exercise, and how pathetic I am to hope for and shine in it, should I want it. I rarely do. Women file shining under accomplishment. Fuck accomplishment. On a summer morning in short shorts, I watch pallbearers carry a coffin down a flight of church steps. I sip my morning latte. The guy next to me says, "It's a little early for this," and I am supposed to agree, but I shake my head. Imagine this, all the mourners after, feasting together. Is that beautiful? At this bar in Chinookville, young men on MDMA. One of them looks at me like I'm a piece of sky, then shuts his eyes. There was a beach beyond that bar, and I sat on it watching lightning, thinking beauty should mostly be someone making that spectacle inside you. So I got married about a month ago. Yeah, it's awesome. It's great to have a husband. I love my husband, although it makes me feel icky to say that word for some reason. And I think that's because I never wanted to get married. Ever since I was a little girl, I said I wouldn't get married. And that's partly because, you know, historically marriage was a pretty raw deal for women. And I still see lots of representations of it that I don't like. But somehow my partner convinced me it was a beautiful thing, and we did it, and it was a beautiful thing, and I just kind of sold out. But, you know, that's okay, because I'm 33 and I've had lots of practice selling out, so I'm not mad about it. But I thought that in celebration, I would read a couple of poems that touch on the subject of marriage in a very dark way. I'm glad my husband is in here. So this one's called Curiosity. And this one only touches on marriage briefly. He entered every watering hole he ever saw on Queen Street. He went for breakfast and dinner and coffee. He entered greasy spoons and empty trattorie, bars with signs like white magic psychic. It didn't matter. He needed to eat. He needed to know how it was inside. She likes this about him. She imagines this is how he feels about women. Their outsides draw him. He is curious about their taste and the way they feel, the experience of them. She can understand this. She can understand anything. She is sitting at the back of a coffee shop watching the barista smoke quietly on the stoop. There is a sign on a balcony above him that says Vienna House Bakery. She wonders if that is what she would find in him, oven warmth and rising. Her lover sees many storefronts inside her. When he says, "I would ask you to marry me if you believed in marriage," the hope goes out of her. His idea of it is the diner in the Edward Hopper painting, all our loneliness under a glow, the couple just beyond reach, and the milkshake slinger in his white hat, promising. And the second one is called Lower Forms of Life. The trees and sky can be ripped away. Behind them, you'll find a peacock. When his tail opens, flames eat what is left of the picture, including the peacock, whose feathers are made of a lace my grandmother gave me on my 21st birthday. I put the lace around my thigh that year, put on a white dress, and a man's head appeared below, asking after the cake. The people took pictures of my golden thighs, and we drank champagne with dark bubbles. The bed trembled beneath me, and outside, snow fell furiously. The position was lonely. The ceiling cracks opened and blood flew brightly. A child with thrashing feet sullied the blushing gates. She came out greedy for air, screaming. The doctor's hands choked her squirming body, and I decided to give her the one chance. I told her everything would be visible in the golden fleck of my left iris, all there was to steal from me, and her snail ear twitched under my hot breath. Those weren't too dark, right? This next one's called Witness. I see this lady going door to door with an armful of pamphlets. I'd like to be that sure of anything. At a funeral, my mother took me aside. "I believe when I die, I'm going up there." She pointed to the stucco ceiling of the funeral home, her other hand clutching a dry brownie wrapped in a white doily. "And all the people I love." She said it pleading-like, self-mocking, too intelligent for God, like the rest of us. As if I wouldn't want her to have that. I want her to have that. I sat next to a bouquet on the car ride home, its sick sweet smell like the thinning perms that bobbed in the sparse pews. I didn't know what to do when they bowed their heads. I kept my eyes on the bald minister, who looked like 80s Florida. And while everyone around me broke down, I was on a plane to Miami. So I actually got the idea for that poem first when I was watching out a coffee shop window what I assumed was a Jehovah's Witness woman walking around knocking door to door. And I was so envious of her in that moment that she had such belief that she was willing to knock on doors. And I don't think that I believe in anything that much, you know, like even poetry. Like, would you knock on people's doors and tell them to read a poem and that it would, you know, save their lives possibly? So I think I kind of really admire them for that reason. It's pretty cool. This poem is about witnessing belief in another way. It was inspired by a trip I took to Egypt to visit a good friend of mine, many years ago now, actually. And she took me to this coastal town while we were there. And we went to this section of the beach that is actually cordoned off, and it's for women only, so that women who cover themselves can actually go inside and they can just, you know, derobe and put a bikini on. And they don't have to worry about men seeing them. But it was really surreal to be lined up at these turnstiles and to have all these women who were covered head to toe and then to go inside and they derobed and they were just in these bikinis. And it was really revealing to me about my own biases, and it showed me basically how I dehumanized them both when they were covered and then when I was inside and they were sort of in their sexy bikinis. So this is about that. It's called Women Only Beach, Porto Marina, Egypt. Bless you. Folds and folds of black cloth drop, and suddenly, a woman. I watch from my rented chaise lounge as she runs to the sea like any other pussy on stilts, like me. In the water, she opens and closes her legs to let the flow in and out and back to the cargo ships with their working men and steel containers. Do you guys want to come sit in chairs? Okay.
There's chairs in the front row, second row.
This next one's called Body, and it's written in a number of parts. We live in my lungs. You smoke. You set up an armchair in the corner, bring your books and newspapers, lean back, read, and exclaim facts about the fall of empires and the decline of women. On the back of a magazine, a girl poses in a dress, straps slipping down her shoulders, something moving under her skin as if it knew the place. It doesn't. But I know the blaze in my belly. It burns this conversation. Send smoke up through my eyes and mouth. There is another side to history. In factories where dress threads come together, women hum to drown their hunger. Art is a looking glass. I see myself in a painting, the one in which the heroine's breasts are like bruised apples and a shadow watches from the window. The girl in the painting and the one in the magazine are, in a way, fucking us, filling us. What you meant when you mentioned the decline of women was that empires nearing the brink of collapse make stars out of women's eyes. So now I'm going to read a couple from a short series I have in my book. That is based on things that I heard actual people say out in the real world. So it might be something that a friend said to me that I wrote down, or something that I just overheard a stranger say in public. So how these work is the title first gives you the location where I heard the thing said, and then it gives the identity of the speaker, and then it gives the thing the person said, and then we jump into the poem. So this first one is called King West, Brian. And Brian was a colleague of mine at a restaurant. And he was talking about his girlfriend, and this is what he said about her. Melissa will probably want to do something domestic tomorrow, like go to IKEA. Will she suck his cock today? They make purchases together, white mugs and shower curtains. And he asks about the wine she's chosen for their dinner party. And she goes on wearing her dark wash jeans. And when an explosion of color suddenly leaps from that fog between them, out from that spot in her mind that is still hers, still free from some ad on TV, direct from the sparking edge of her teeth she bears up from his lap, he almost, just for a second, loses his heart on, lives inside the gentle arch of her hand on his knee, the horse muscle of her neck. And the next one in this series I'm going to read is called Trinity Bellwoods Park. Has anyone ever been there in Toronto? Yeah? Okay. You know what it's all about. It's basically where people go to drink. And girl, that's who I heard. I heard an anonymous girl say this. She said, Rachel, your bush is showing. You're not wearing any underwear. Her body leans into the grass with its bright legs and high-waisted floral jumper comeback. She spreads her fingers around a Pabst Blue ribbon and lifts her face. She doesn't know if she's an American Apparel mannequin or a woman with a body she's learning. She wants every boy in the park and none. Yesterday, she sat in front of the mirror brushing her hair, wondering what belongs to her. She presents herself to the world like an art show, different concepts behind each look, hoping the critics will elaborate. Her last boyfriend wanted it bare. So that's it for the ones based on things I heard people say. This one's called Father Son. I'll say it. I am afraid you'll end up like your father, alone in the woods with a blonde retriever. I watch him setting rock in the mortar of the new cottage. Think of his hands on a woman's body, how your mother's face was no stone. He prefers this. Still structures leaning into autumn, gutting fish, stringing up deer to drain, online dating with women he dismisses as stupid. He wishes they were 19, he says. He wishes for a daddy complex. I swim in his lake, track your movements on shore. How's everyone doing? I feel like everyone's really quiet. Photograph. You tell me to look into the lens, which I think of as your mouth. The air is heavy with appetite. You adjust my head with two fingers, brush the hair from my face, tell me part your lips, part your knees. The woman you're watching, what does she look like? And did we both have you? You like her, I know. You'll develop her. Bit of generosity. So I'm just going to read a couple of more. This one again is another poem that's written in about five parts. It's called Letters for You. The men around here drive pickups. I watch them coast from the fields in the evening, windows down. We lock eyes when I'm out running, and I plead. Turn to see if a glance is in the rear view. Their bedrooms are elaborately simple. I'm a girl in them. Sauvage. That's what you called me, but it's how I think of you. And it's the opposite of their want, which can be fed. Cruel, though, how their damp sheets promise a forgetting. Forgetting. Tricky that. We tried to do it by moving away from our past and into a house together. While you sleep, I walk around the empty rooms with a blanket over my shoulders, hoping to recover someone. Not in the dining room, not in the study. So I shed my clothes and climb on top of you, trying to find her. Mid-morning walk. You made observations from your jacket. How grave I was in my pretty hat, how you'd always imagined Anna Karenina looked like me. I parted my lips but didn't say anything. Don't be strange, you said. Be strange, you said. Back inside, my mouth fell open for your cock like a string puppet's. We stayed up, making purple black flowers bloom down the side of me. We hoped the neighbors would call the police to stop us. Someone stop us. How quickly we traveled each other in that other direction. When you moved inside me, we were astonished. I think of it now as a grip we could not remain under. Here, there, a beauty returns. One of yours. I turn away from it. I'll just read one more. It's called Country Drive. The wheat fields wave their cinders. All the gold hurts my mouth. Inherent in the repetition of each passing plot is delusion, mainly the figure of a woman. Not me exactly, but a version. The me that dies in the nightmare. She has started to show up in all the familiar places. Thank you so much.